Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 10th of September, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And today, I can be honest with y'all, two things. First of all, producer, why you ain't played a song for me? I know why you ain't played a song for me, because if you give me some of that thing, I could talk it. In fact, don't invite me in your criminal enterprise. You all don't like to read, first of all. That's why I don't want to be in your gang, because you don't like to read and you can't count. And for me, that's dirty work. I don't like that. However, in the application form, right, I can talk it. Yeah. You can't accuse me of being a snitch. I can put it in the application form. If you give me some of that thing, I can talk it. That don't make me a snitch, because I tell you from the break, don't tell me nothing. Don't even say good morning. I may try snatch your joy from you. See, because this morning I can't decide whether I'm a hoodlum or a gay wench. I'd like to say thank you to that gentleman. Because, see, sometimes you have to imagine beyond anything you thought possible. I didn't know it would be acceptable for me to be a gay wench. I would like to thank you, right, for enabling me, allowing me to be a gay wench. But I can't decide. Hoodlum, gay wench, locks, or bonnet. In fact, it ain't up to me to decide, you know. It's up to y'all to decide what you want. You want locks or you want a bonnet? You want a hoodlum or you want a gay wench? Since you want choices, you're going to have to decide what you want. But you can't tell me what I could be. And in fact, stop telling these young people they're hoodlums. Hundreds and hundreds of years of documented development, right? In countries, societies, cultures where we're documenting our lives, hundreds of years of youth development documented, we all know that young people, up until the age of 25, their brains are still developing. Their heads are soft. They are not fully formed. And yet you want to punish them and treat them like fully formed adults. In fact, you want to punish them and treat them like criminals for things you think you have the right to do and get away with. Right? But because they're children, somehow, they supposed to acknowledge, you know, I am sinful. But y'all Christians to say, I was born in sin, and I'm sinning. I come before you for the penance, get the whip and whip me, you know, that sort of thing. You expect people to do that, and you wouldn't do it? You wouldn't look in the front in your kid's face and say, hey, you know what? I fall short of the glory of God all the time. And guess what? Where you are in your life, that's what we expect every day, so we shouldn't be beating you up about it. We should be giving you tools to walk through this place. Y'all stop calling young people hoodlums. In fact, stop calling young people hoodlums in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that has one of the richest drug histories ever. Right? Like y'all grow up. In fact, when y'all in y'all bars, when y'all in y'all cars, when you're supposed to be driving, but what you're really doing is you want to date with some older woman because you don't have any skills because you didn't really grow up. I'm talking to y'all people who be on the road at 10 o'clock in the morning doing 7 miles an hour. Yeah. Y'all grew up in a drug era, and y'all celebrated being pretend gangsters. In fact, right now, some of y'all are 60 and pretending to be gangsters. But then y'all want to turn around and call young people hoodlums because they don't want to dress the way you say they should dress. That's it. We got to be real with ourselves first and foremost so that we can be real helpmates to our children. Because that's what our job is, to help them and guide them. Some of y'all are mad that you apparently have to grow them up, that you're responsible for them, for their well-being, for their sense of self and identity. Anyway, because I had to think of all of these things. Somebody tell me I was a gay wench and somebody else tell me I was a hoodlum. I've been thinking about these things all the time. I wasn't here yesterday. I've been thinking about these things. And I remember young people don't even have the time to think about these things. Anyway, I got to get the show started. I was sneaking a little time because it's a Wednesday, which means it's a Man Down Mashup Wednesday, but Mr. Newry isn't here yet. However, I have joining me in studio this morning, Mr. Darvin Russell. Good morning, Mr. Russell.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Bahamas.
Welcome, I'm going to say welcome to Sparta. Sometimes it's Sparta in here. But also, because we have a real-life Spartan in here with us this morning, Mr. Russell. For the first segment of the show, we're talking to Mr. Chester Robards, who's the founder of the Chick Chani Challenge. Ain't nothing more I like than the Chick Chani Challenge. Good morning, Mr. Robards.
Good morning. Glad to be here back on the radio.
Good stuff. So, you are one of the fittest people I know. That's why we don't hang out too much. Because you're also one of the most inspirational people I know. Like, being around you has inspired you to think about what more I could do with my body, with my brain. Because it's really my brain. You know this body. We're on vacation. But the Chick Chani Challenge has inspired hundreds and hundreds of Bahamians to adopt a fitter lifestyle. Right, to try something they've never tried before, to overcome hurdles that they never thought they could overcome. So this year we're celebrating the
10 years?
10th year anniversary of the Chick Chani Challenge. What do you have in store for us this year?
Lots of stuff. So, of course, the Chick Chani Challenge is turning 10. We've been operating obstacle courses here since 2015.
Which is almost as long as the government who's been operating obstacle courses here since 1973.
I can't speak to that.
That's me.
I can't speak to that. But I can tell you that this year's challenge, which is going to start and finish at Fusion Superplex. Thank you to Fusion Superplex for joining on with us. We did an obstacle course for their staff last year. Just a quick, you know, interdepartmental thing, and it was so much fun.
Company morale building retreat.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they, you know, they said, "Hey, come back. Let's do something else." So we said, "Okay, 10th anniversary. We're gonna go Fusion Superplex." And so our course includes our obstacles at Fusion, as well as along JFK.
Okay, so tell us the route, and is this route okay? Is Fusion a new location? And is this route?
Yep, first time.
Tell us about the route.
So the route will take us up JFK West and then back east on JFK and then into Fusion. So it's actually the most simple route that we've ever had. Because as you know, we started in Clifton Heritage Park.
Right.
And we've done that. We've done a city run through Nassau twice. We did a city run last year. So some of that was Bay Street through Corners, through J-Line, through their actual gym, in through one door, out the other one. And so that was fun.
Okay.
But this year, of course, we like to switch it up. Everybody who does a Chick Chani Challenge wants something new, a new challenge, and that's what we want to get from.
As a newcomer, right?
Yeah.
I want to know that the veterans also have a challenge, right? Like it's something they've never seen before.
Absolutely.
So we'll be equally stunned when we see it.
So you will be. For people who don't know, let's kind of give this a global scope. The obstacle world championships are actually this week in Sweden. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a thing. This is not just me doing obstacle racing in the Bahamas or obstacle running in the Bahamas, right? This is a global thing. In the upcoming Olympics, obstacle racing is part of the modern day pentathlon, which includes also fencing, laser shooting.
What would you mean laser shooting? So it's like a normal, what would you
say? So it's a pistol.
Yeah, but with lasers.
It shoots a laser.
Okay.
So you hit a target that lights up if you actually hit the target.
Right. And
to tell you that you were accurate or not.
And it requires technical precision.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because the weight of the pistol is close to that of a real
weapon.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, after running and after doing all these physical things, you have to then raise a pistol and try to be accurate.
Well, look here, this is a Caribbean competition because our Latin American mothers and grandmothers have the chiclata, when they throw the sandal at a distance position, right?
Yeah.
And Bahamian mothers, we got this.
Yeah.
Because a Bahamian mother will tell you, look here, I will lick you in your head and you'll still be able to get up to go to school tomorrow, you know, don't play with me.
Yeah.
Precision.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So don't stop licking your children in the head.
That's right. Stop throwing sandals at people.
Yeah.
We might introduce that. A target and sandals. It would be good.
I agree. Listen, because why? So these games are also sort of cultural, right? And the obstacles arise out of what it is you do in your everyday life.
Yeah.
I need a boy who could throw a sandal in a tree and knock a mango down gently. I need these things, right? We need these things. Yeah. Because we've lost our fruit picking. I mean, we used to have a cadre of people who were professional fruit pickers, and now we've lost that in society.
So the idea around obstacle course running, and it's closely tied with like CrossFit, is called functional fitness. So like you say, things that you already do.
Mm-hmm.
You jump a wall. Sometimes you got to get down, crawl on your belly to get under the bed to retrieve that thing you throw under there.
Yeah.
All of that requires certain muscle movements and
you don't normally do in your, and maybe not even in your gym.
In your gym. You may not work those things out. But during a Chikchani challenge, you're going to work those things out because you're going to have to do them, right?
Abby was telling me that a ghost move is the best workout
it gotta be.
A Bahamian could get.
It got to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because.
Okay, so new courses, I mean, new courses and obstacles.
So we got some of the old favorites. We're going to have our 9-foot wall. The people have the best. We got the cargo net.
Does the 9-foot wall come with the rope?
No. The 9-foot wall doesn't come with the rope.
Okay, no problem.
The 9-foot wall either comes with a big jump or a little bit of help.
Yeah, okay.
Which is, that's why it is one of my favorites. Watching people help each other get over the 9-foot wall is, it's heartwarming.
Yeah.
And
seeing people pause
their run
to help somebody else get
absolutely.
Over.
So they might get on top of the wall, give a hand up, or they might stay at the bottom of the wall and give a leg up.
Yeah.
Okay. I love it. It's great.
All right.
And the runs that I've done is always the same. People stick around at those difficult obstacles for a while just to help people. They do it. They just, you know, they don't worry about their time anymore.
Yeah. Plus, you work it into your strategy, which is, okay, I'm going to take my break here.
Right.
I'm going to catch your breath and help people.
Yeah
man, it's awesome. Okay. New
stuff.
Yeah, just a sneak peek. I don't want everybody to know.
Well, they're going to hear it first on your show.
Okay.
People who's ever watched American Ninja Warrior, again, a part of this whole obstacle global body, it's ninja competitions are a different thing than obstacle course running, but in the same kind of...
And they're young people. A Chikchani is the Bahamian version of a ninja.
Let them know.
I just need you to know that. Whatever a ninja could do, a Chikchani could do, but better.
Since 10 years ago, for sure. The warped wall. You seen that?
Yeah. The one with the curve.
The curve at the end of American Ninja Warrior. Typically, that's the last obstacle. I should say reintroducing that because we built one about 6 or 7 years ago. We'd never put it on the course, but we had it out to... the International Food Festival, and we drew the biggest crowd out there, I would say.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
This was my coconut pickers.
Because
if you run up coconut trees, then you could run up a warp wall. Okay.
There you go. And we're bringing that for the first time.
Any water obstacles since we are near the lake?
So there's a little bit of water, not too much.
All right, not diving and pulling
swim.
Up Kong.
You don't have to swim.
Okay.
But so you can get wet.
All right, nice. Yeah, and a little bit of mud.
Who don't mind a little bit of cool in the heat, right?
Exactly.
And hopefully we're going to get a good bit of mud during the crawl.
Nice.
So we have that. We do have the laser pistol shooting.
All right.
So we're introducing that for the first time. And I give that away because, again, we're focused on the future of obstacle course racing here.
Yeah.
And we one day actually want to send somebody to pentathlon.
If it's going to be in the 2028 Olympics, then do participants in this 10th year anniversary run, 2025, do they have an opportunity to qualify for 2028?
So we are part of the Global Federation.
Yeah.
And our run will be considered a qualifying event.
Man, look here, if you're trying to qualify for the Olympics and you see me on that course,
not for the Olympics, but for global obstacle course racing challenges.
Globally.
Not particularly the Olympics.
All right.
But you can use the Chikchani Challenge to qualify for a regional...
Which is a part of the process, right? That's like the beginning of the process?
Yeah, absolutely.
Beginning
of the process.
Well, listen, if y'all are on that journey and you see me on the obstacle course, use me. If you guys run and take off and jump off my back to jump over that wall, use me. Because we all go into the Olympics eventually.
Yeah, but what's important, I think, for people to know is you got to come out and try it. I was not, like, I'm not a sports person. Mm-hmm. I don't watch football, as you might have realized after I tried to hold down your show one time, and all those other things. But I found obstacle course racing by chance, and I grew to love it. Mm-hmm. Never knowing 2013, so
wow.
13 years, 12 years ago.
Is when you started.
That it would become the sport that it has become globally.
Yeah.
Right. I know they were fighting to get in the Olympics for a long time, but now it's here. It's part of that whole global movement, right?
So, all right. So yeah. Cost. Because so, once yeah. I buy the Bengay and the gauze and the wraps and thing, I need to know how much more money I need.
We have a lot going on.
I see you got the regular course.
We have the regular course,
light course,
which is $75 per person. If you come in teams of four or more, $65 per person.
Okay.
We have a light version for the first time this year. And I want people to, because somebody messaged me and they were like, oh, they still want to know what obstacles are in the light.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's light. So whatever it is, you could do it.
Yeah. Okay.
For sure.
Cool.
But can I give that away?
Yeah, man.
Okay. The light version is going to have the short wall. You're also going to get to do the laser pistol shooting. A crawl, the sandbags, lighter sandbags, the axe throw, the spear throw, the balance beam, over and under walls, and the A-frame cargo, which is a lighter version of the cargo net.
Okay.
So we have two cargo nets, the one for the people doing the regular and then the one for the light.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, if I was a Grammy, I'm going to do this race. I'm going to do this race. I bring in my grandchildren to watch me. I need my grandchildren to know I still got it. Yeah. Even if it's a short course, right? Now, could I bring my grandkids and do a course with them?
Absolutely. So I don't know if you want to do it with them, because we do, again, for the first time this year, we are doing a kids course.
Okay.
We are doing it for the first time. And when Spartan was here, they had their kids' world championships at Atlantis, which we helped out with. And so, again, eventually we will, the Chicchani Challenge will be a qualifier for kids who can go to global world championships and represent the Bahamas.
Wow. Okay. Listen, I'm really excited because I was thinking.
We're growing this obstacle movement. That's what we've been doing.
No, man. I'm thinking global school health report. The stats indicating the extremely low levels of physical activity or the high levels of physical inactivity amongst the teens surveyed. And I wonder if introducing sort of physical activity in a whole new genre would inspire young people, especially young men, to get involved, right?
That's the idea. That's the idea. So parks have certain things for a reason. They got monkey bars because big children, small children love to try that. It's just something that we love to do. Swings, like ring swings and crawling through the dirt, crawl through a tunnel.
Yeah.
These things exist.
And that's what they for.
And we don't naturally, I think, grow out of the want to do those things. We just decide not to do them because adults don't do it, right?
And the slide is too small. I tried.
Exactly. So we built the big course for the big people to do. But also it's a sporting event that comes with prizes and surprises.
So let's talk quickly, prizes, partners, sponsors, and vendors.
Absolutely. So everybody who finishes the Chicchani Challenge gets their finisher t-shirt, their finisher medal. And at the end for the adults, there's always a refreshing beer to get your carbs back.
Mm-hmm.
So we partner with Kalik. They're one of our sponsors. And also Heineken Zero for people who don't want the alcohol in it.
Yeah.
And the top winners are going to get trophies and some other prizes. And, but swag bags. Lightborn Trading is coming on board. They always give out amazing things.
Yeah.
So our Race Village is going to have them and other people as well as our sponsors. So, of course, we couldn't get it done without RBC, Kalina, Advantage Insurance, Fincastle Media Group, PowerAid, Guardian Radio 96.9, of course, Party Pilots, Rentals, and Events, and I mentioned Heineken Zero. But this year, we're also giving back to prostate cancer awareness because this is the month for it.
Okay.
And my good friend Mega has been telling me for years, you know, Anton, why don't you do something in September? Because, of course, we always need this awareness about prostate cancer. And Dr. Dante Jacobs has come on board with us to help us to get the word out about prostate cancer awareness.
Is Guardian sponsoring a team?
Not yet.
They're one of the partners, right?
Yes. So we've always been waiting for Dwight to come and run the Jigjani Challenge. Well, maybe this will be the year. Who knows?
I'd like to participate because, first of all...
You were supposed to come last year, but something happened.
I almost broke my toe.
Yeah.
In anticipation. So I also have a prostate crisis. I can't find... And so I'm going to join the team. But I'm going to be a water girl. Since y'all don't like water...
You could do that.
I can show y'all how powerful a water girl could be. Y'all don't want a water boy, you can get a water girl.
I'm glad you mentioned that because we do need volunteers.
Good stuff.
To help us out. So whoever wants to do that, you're going to get some food at the end. You know,
How do I sign up?
A t-shirt. So chickcharneychallenge.com. Mm-hmm. Just look us up and you'll find all the information there. You'll find ways to sign up and to pay.
To register. And, but to be a volunteer, how do I sign up?
So we just give me a call, 820-5664. Can do that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably the easiest way. Find us on all social media, Chickcharney Challenge. You could even hit me up there and we'll add you to the volunteer page.
I didn't know we had all these healthy people in the Bahamas. So Chester, as I transition out of this segment, mm-hmm. right, I have a question for the Bahamian people and it's framed around this segment. I want to ask the Bahamian people, in light of the Commissioner of Police indicating that in the month of September they're going to begin the deliberations about introducing less than lethal weapons into the police toolkit, right? And one of the things listed sort of under less than lethal weapons is hand-to-hand combat. Mm. And I want to ask the Bahamian people, right? Do you want a Chuck Norris cop? And now that may age me. If you want a Steven Seagal / Chuck Norris cop, or if you want a RoboCop, right?
Interesting.
Because I feel like... I could ask the question reasonably, would a fitter and better trained police officer be less reliant on a lethal weapon? Right?
Good question.
That's it. I think I could ask that question. But I got some callers on the line. Let me see what they want to ask. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning. How you doing?
All right, good. Thank you.
Wait a minute. I have some suggestion for the Charlie Challenge, right?
Yeah.
One? You could have a monkey time and run. If you run through that monkey time and patch and survive, you're good.
I got you.
Second thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You all need to partner with BPL. BPL needs to be a sponsor. So the winner, they will get to get paid.
I got you.
Oh, wow.
I thought you was going to have a whole different run. I thought we were going to grease the pole. And the you have to run up the pole with the line and connect the line. And then come back down.
Come on, the monkey time patch run. That sounds a little better.
I love it.
I will watch it. I'll actually join. I'm joining, but I'll get my popcorn. I'll watch that all day.
From a distance.
From a distance.
These people don't know about monkey time run. Thank you very much, caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Ms. Green.
How are you?
Morning, Mr. Robot.
Good morning.
Ms. Grant, I always wanted to know, what is a Chickchani?
A Chickchani, okay, so some people say that Chickchani is myth, some people say that Chickchani is real. I saw a Chickchani in the bush, but I didn't stay around long enough to talk to it.
How did it look?
It had big red eyes. I tell you, it was in the bush, it was dark. I saw the big red eyes, the bush crack, and I gone like a good Bahamian child.
What was the formation of it, I mean? What does it look like?
Okay, so they say that a Chickchani, it looks like a pod bird and a big... like sort of like claws, but it's short and it don't really fly, right? But here's the Chickchani origin story as it was told to me, right? You know, in the pagan world, Easter is the new year, the beginning of the year, time of renewal, right? And so in the Bahamas, way, way, way back at Easter, at the beginning of the year, they had the coloring ceremony, and that's when the mer king and the mer queen would gather all of the animals of the sea into the largest blue hole in Andrus, right? To be blessed, to be renewed for the new year. And the mermaid and the mer king and the mer queen would touch them, bless them, and they would be refreshed. The colors are vibrant for the new year. So everybody, every animal, land animal, sea animal, was aware that this is an important time of the year. However, this big owl and this big rat, the owl was trying to catch the rat and the rat was trying to not be caught, right? And they was going after it. At least the owl was making his way and the rat was just running and turning and running and tumbling. And eventually the rat, out of desperation, tumbled right into the blue hole in the middle of the coloring festival, right?
Well, the next time you see one, take a picture.
Listen, hold on. I can show you where the picture is. And then the bird tumbled into the blue hole after the big rat. And the Mer King in his ire, he's angry because everybody knows you don't disturb the sacred time. He said, oh, so you also want to be together so much that you would dare to disturb the king? And he blessed them and they became one new animal, the Chikchani. Now, for people who say they've seen a Chikchani, right? A Chikchani is likely an old barn owl that is now extinct.
It was a giant.
Right?
It was a giant owl.
It evolved into a smaller species of owl. Mm-hmm. And so typically what people are seeing is they're seeing an owl in a state, a position that you don't normally see it in. If you ever see an owl pick up its petticoat, like you know when your grammy getting ready to row and she pick up a hem,
mm-hmm.
it looked like an alien. It looked like a Chikchani.
Because it got legs under there.
Owls have legs with stalkings and everything. It wears.
But unlike our Chikchanis, the Chikchani Challenge, they work out their legs, so they ain't so skinny.
Yeah, they're muscly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The Chikchani origin is actually the Bahamas?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's ours. That's we think.
That's ours.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. I tell you, I could talk it. Don't get... Tell me where the Gnab tree is. I could talk it. I know some Grammys, they love Gnab. I could tell them. What you mean?
You know, the first time I heard the phrase, a very important phrase, was in the Lutra. You talk some and you keep some.
Yeah. You keep some and you peep some and you keep some.
That's right.
Yeah, living in these islands is something else, man. Anyway, Mr. Robards, thank you very much. Give us the dates for the Chikchani Challenge.
September 27th, we start at 6:30 a.m., Fusion Superplex Courtyard. We're going to have fun games, prizes we're giving away. You know, if you got your bib, we can call your bib number and you might win something. So join them
raffle
just for that.
Raffle it just for that.
We have some
registration
great prizes. We're registering all the way up to the event.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah. Parents, consider this as a skills building and developmental opportunity for your young teens and your young kids, eh?
Yep.
Go out there. Y'all have a great time as a family. I can be there catching Chikchanis, though. I working for government now, Chester. I catching Chikchanis. You guys stay tuned. When we get back from the break, Mr. Darvin Russell and I are going to delve into some local issues. And I can see where Mr. Nuri is. I may have to go catch me a Chikchani
this
morning. You guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. If I hear somebody sing,
I'm gonna talk. You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible. Work with the brightest minds. And leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Nothing beats a Chikchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. try the Chicchani Light version built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pie Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is On the Clock with Erin Green on this Wednesday Man Down mashup session. Mr. Russell, I'd had too much fun on the obstacle course, right? But what a wonderful opportunity to grow a culture of appreciation for physical activity, right? And activeness. And an activity also creates a space for the development of soft skills, critical thinking skills, spatial awareness, empathy, things that young people absolutely need, but don't necessarily, there is no automatic, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say right to it, that schools don't necessarily inculcate that in the curriculum. Mm-hmm. Although school is a place where you're expected to learn these things, right? And so for young people who are like, I ain't into school like that, this is a great opportunity to show them that no matter if you're not into school or not, you're going to need to focus and you're going to need to figure out how to develop these things. And here's a fun way. If you don't want to do school, here's a funner way to do it, right? Let's start here and see what we could do as young people. But to my question, do you as a Bahamian want a Chuck Norris cop, Steven Seagal cop, kung fu, disarm your physical restraint, hand-to-hand combat cop who is so confident in his body or her body's ability that they resist drawing a weapon? Or you want a RoboCop? You know, once this boy on the scene, everything, right, everything finished. Shoot first, ask questions later. I'm framing it like that. That's an extreme of a RoboCop. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Newry, same question for you.
From where I sit, good morning again, everybody. Good morning, Erin. Good morning, Mr. Newry. From where I sit, the way that I view police officers in this country is in a broader context. I think for me, it's more important that police officers represent professionalism, honesty, and integrity, because I think that role, maybe more so than some of the other law enforcement branches, is so tied to the psyche of a culture that when that one breaks down, we begin to lose a degree of hope that we have in an institution whose stated goal is to protect and serve. I am a fan of martial arts being taught to police officers. I'm a fan of martial arts being introduced in schools because I think not only does it provide a degree of discipline, self-defense for boys and girls, it provides a degree of character, of ethos that I think we have abandoned as a culture. And it is a way to use the word that you use that was so beautifully put to inculcate these kinds of character traits, attributes back within our children. Before that role was taken by our grandmothers, our grandfathers, who now are either gone on to be with the Lord, are still working. They're not serving as surrogate parents, an adjunct to the core family structure. So we have a lot of fundamental problems in our country that aren't necessarily sexy to address, They require a bit more soberness, a bit more deliberation, a bit more intentionality. And that is not what we have become known for, unfortunately, in the last 15 years or so of governance, I would say.
Mm-hmm. That's why for me, Chuck Norris was the example, right? Mm-hmm. Because growing up watching Chuck Norris, the first thing is you watch Chuck Norris on CBS, right? And then you realize CBS is a certain type of channel. Sure. They had certain types of shows on it. Chuck Norris was the good guy. Mm-hmm. Not only was he the good guy, but he was the good police, mm-hmm. right? There was always a moral
Absolutely.
Lesson in the way that he policed, mm-hmm. right? And RoboCop, because he's a machine and mm-hmm. devoid of thinking
sure.
and critical, you know, and critical thinking. Mm-hmm. Although you can't take the human, right? The metaphor, because you can't
yes.
take the human out of policing mm-hmm. and what that type of policing does to the policemen themselves,
yes.
right? And that's why I use those two examples. But mm-hmm. you went straight to the question, Nuri Saiga. Add on to the question I had for you. Should all officers be trained in martial arts and hand-to-hand combat? And do we need a focus on the physical requirements for officers? Do we need more frequent physical standard assessments for officers? And will this improve morale and policing?
Good day. Open line. Not open line. We have a specific topic, and it's a needed topic. But all police officers are trained martial arts, straight across the board. Straight across the board.
I know they train in Bahamian martial arts, dashing. And I'm mad yeah. because look here, if somebody is shooting at me, I dash in the opposite direction.
And dashing is a form of African martial arts.
You throw them to the ground and you run away. I love that.
But there is a martial arts program at the police college. Standard. All recruits goes through it. They have an instructor.
How long is that as a component of their training, Ms. Neary?
The only reason why I know it, because my cousin mm-hmm. happens to be the sensei.
Mm-hmm. And okay.
He's been doing it for like 25 years.
Okay.
So the program is
the program
existed
is there.
For
all,
a long time.
All the recruits must go to do martial arts. You pass the police training college now, you'll see that they are doing martial arts at okay. this present time. Mm-hmm. I just happen to know.
Okay.
I can't fight.
No, that's great information.
I call him, say, boy, cousin, they fool with me. Mm-hmm. But I'm more concerned about alternative ways of dispelling crime, meaning I don't believe in guns. You know, I'm terrified of guns, yeah. but I believe in the shocker. I believe in the pepper spray.
Or the taser.
The shocker. Yeah, the taser.
I call that an electronic whistle. Because you remember the Prime Minister
yes.
told us to get whistles, right? So I went online. Listen, first of all, y'all don't trust AI.
Mm.
Do not trust AI. I got a whistle, the one you blow.
Mm-hmm.
I blow it and it blow.
Mm-hmm.
Then it said, but you know, we have a wet whistle. Like if you squeeze the button, it go wet them up and they go whistle.
Oh.
Right? And then I was like, oh, the Prime Minister didn't say that. And then the next one is like, hold on, we got an electronic whistle.
Yeah.
When you press the button, trust me, they go whistle.
The shocker.
Yeah, but don't trust AI, because I don't know if you could have them here in the Bahamas.
And that's where my concern is. I hear you talking about the self-defense and the martial arts or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that police should have tools to protect themselves and to protect persons, passerbys in general. And even though the Commissioner of Police said they are minded to embrace it in the future, at this present time, tasers, pepper sprays are against the law, or is against the law. That is a conversation that we need to have. Why is it still against the law? Why isn't our police officers using these things? Why can't women use these things to protect themselves? And I think that that should be added in the conversation, inclusive of what type of police you want, either the Steven Seagal who fighting, or the RoboCop mm-hmm. who shooting you down.
Is a non-lethal gun also against the law?
Against the law.
It's against the law.
It's against the law.
But I mean, okay, so
anything with shooting projectile,
so
injury.
Restricted, not totally illegal, not totally mm-hmm. prohibited, right?
I can't go an outdoor sportsman and purchase one.
I don't think you can go in now. If you are a licensed security officer, I think there may be degrees of licensing
mm-hmm.
that will that'll allow you to carry a weapon or
okay.
work with a weapon, right? So it's not complete. I'm just saying it's not completely prohibited, but the question is, have police officers been authorized to carry, and have they been armed, right? Like, have they been resourced? Because I don't expect an officer to go out. In fact, I would be concerned if an officer just went out and brought their own a rubber bullet gun, right? Like they need to be tracked, they need to be traced.
And we also need to consider if security officer you mentioned, if the security, what is the insurance policy if the security officer uses any of these taser-type weapons on you, just to subdue you.
Less than lethal, but it is...
But still injury.
Yeah. And who's responsible?
And who's responsible?
Especially if I was not actually committing a crime, right? Like, say, you suspected that I was a trespasser, right? And you tell me to go, and I'm attempting to show you the documents that authorize me to be on the property, right? So I'm coming towards you, but you're not hearing me, or you panic, and you hit me with the taser while I'm trying to show you proof that I'm supposed to be here, and I'm actually trying to ask you how to get to the place I'm, right? Mm-hmm. Who's responsible if I fall and injure myself? Things like that need to be clearly. It's the same question I had for the possible use of autonomous and semi-autonomous robotic tools like security dogs and drones, right? But the dogs in particular, the question I had was, seeing them in private security use in the U.S. already, mm-hmm. right, do we have any regulations in place, laws or regulations governing the use in country? Are they restricted from being imported? And what happens if I am somewhere, I get lost, I end up on a property, and then all of a sudden I am being approached by a robotic dog, and I get injured by this tool, this security tool, right?
Well, I guess my question would be, why would it be any different than your own pet? Why, if you had a live dog, would the liability change if it's robotic? It is still the owner's responsibility. Mm-hmm. Now, you might have a case as the owner. Let's say, for example, if there's a software glitch and the dog attacked without your instruction, mm-hmm. That's a different conversation. Then that's after I sue you for biting me, your mechanical dog for biting me, you then sue the manufacturer because it wasn't your fault that it happened. But from an insurance perspective, I would imagine your liability insurance that is a part of your homeowner's policy would cover the first incidents, the incident of the dog biting me. Mm-hmm. You need to go and sue the manufacturer of the dog because you did not instruct it to bite me.
And so if you have a guard dog and you would put up a sign that says, beware, mm-hmm. dangerous animal, security guard, then mm-hmm. you also need to have a sign that says, beware, autonomous security tools, right? I'm for it. I just imagine sometimes things come in without the proper oversight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I also understand the concerns that private property owners have, right? I was told a recent story, somebody with a bit of a mango orchard found a family just, you know, having a great time. And then the family got upset at them when they said, A, it's private property. B, mm-hmm. it's a commercial enterprise. Mm-hmm. People wanted to, like, row them. Mm-hmm. And so I understand why property owners want to protect their interests.
Absolutely.
But I also, as a Bahamian in 2025, I'm not sure how I'm going to feel the first time I see a robotic dog approaching me, even if I know it's a security tool, mm-hmm. right? Because we Bahamians, we biggity. Even if I know it's a security tool, mm-hmm. my first instinct may be to pick up a rock. Mm-hmm. You know, and then so also the social education and awareness programs. Mm-hmm. How do you feel, Nuri? How do you feel about one of those sorts of tools on a school campus or in the outer perimeter of a school campus? So we say you're on the school property legally, but there's a wall. So the dogs only patrol, the robots only patrol that outer boundary. They're not inside with the kids. How do you feel about that?
I always get anxiety with dealing with kids. Say, what if my kid get bitten? Am I forgiven?
Right, that's why I say it can be on the,
my kid gets shot,
on the outer boundary, yeah.
Yeah, but my kid's unruly. They jump walls, right? But I always wonder, what happens to if it is my kid? Do I say, man, you was wrong, child, right? you don't challenge the security officer. So if the security officer grab you by the neck and throw you on the ground, do I be forgiven and say, okay, you deserve that? If the security officer uses his resources in terms of the pepper spray because you are fighting, use the shocker, because you are being disruptive and combative, right, to protect his person, do I still say, well, security is doing his job in reference to my child, mm-hmm. only 14, 15, man. That's a child, You know, you don't manhandle my child. Call me. You know, I have issues, and mind you, I understand. I just have anxiety.
I'm too busy. Man down, man. I'm too busy to call you. Yeah. Let's go to the phone line. Darvin, you wanted to.
Yeah, I'm of the theory similar to Mr. Nuri's. I just believe when you're dealing with children, we should invert our natural instinct. I think you try to seek the minimal amount of aggression that is required for submission or control.
Mm-hmm.
When you deal with adults, you can go, your default can be maximum aggression for deterrence or control. But when you're dealing with children, I think you need the minimum, the least evasive and aggressive tactic to ensure compliance and control. Because as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, we do not want their brains that are still forming to now associate when you step out of line, the immediate response to be aggression. This is precisely the problem we have with young men who don't have any skills when it comes to conflict resolution other than violence.
Yeah.
That is their default response. So I don't know if I want to perpetuate that narrative. I'm fine that a resource officer, a police officer is in a school where there is at least a human-to-human interaction, you can make a deductive decision around what is occurring. But I don't need a machine in that perimeter, whether it's on the periphery or not. I would be very uncomfortable with that. We have already demonstrated that we can achieve the level of compliance and control in our schools now without the need for any further aggression to be displayed toward our children. I would strongly suggest we don't go down that road.
I appreciate the commentary because in there, while you were speaking, I remembered the episode of Black Mirror. Mm-hmm. The first time I saw the dog, mm-hmm. right? And visceral response. Mm-hmm. And I told you, like, I fear that the first time I see it in real life, I just gonna pick up a rock
mm-hmm.
because it is inherently aggressive. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the idea of not introducing our kids to that. Like, mm-hmm. but that's the beginning of the police state right there mm-hmm. or entrenching the police state.
Let's go to the caller, but I want to put this to you too. Edinburgh, the University of Edinburgh is having a protest about the Palestinian issue with mm-hmm. Israel. The entire university stood up and protests and chants, whatever it is. And I'm saying that Bohemian children or youth, young adults, tend to be so demure. And I say, I wonder what would have happened if at a university of the Bahamas, the students got up and disrupted a meeting.
Yeah.
And then you put in the dog. I want to bring that conversation in.
Carla, coming to you right now, Mr. Nuri, if you could give me like 7 minutes in the next hour, because I got a story from Nepal, and I wanted to ask the same question, right? Given the demure nature of Bahamian students, would we see a similar response in the Bahamas like we saw happening over the last few days in Nepal? Good morning, Carla, and thank you for your patience.
Hey, Ms. Green, quick question for you and your guests, right?
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about the rubber bullets as a primary weapon, right? As a primary weapon, and then the real gun as a secondary weapon in society, just in case, like, so you wouldn't injure or you wouldn't kill a person. You would injure them, but you wouldn't kill them. And second thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really, really, really love to see the coconut boys them jump in someone's yard, right, without their permission, and the robot dog run them straight down the road. I won't see that bad. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah. I have a way, in fact, just recently, I have a feeling about people who come in your yard and stare you right in your face and take your fruit because they think you're not going to fight them. But you're not going to fight them because your 70-year-old neighbor whose yard they're in is right there and they tell you don't fight them. I have feelings about that. That has happened to people like me plenty more than it should do. Thank you, Carla.
I see the robot dog run behind them, dead, but...
I know. And at the same time, as much as I want to see that, I don't want to see it. Like you said, Russell, it's just so inherently aggressive.
But in the case that the caller just mentioned, this is, you know, like I talked about earlier, this is the problem that I have with the way that Bahamian society seems to be directionally headed. I have a problem when you have an entitlement to somebody else's things. Mm. I don't know when this developed.
Mm-hmm.
These persons climb your fence, walk onto your property. There's no longer even the decency to knock on the door and ask if it's okay. It's mm-hmm. this entitlement that I think we have to stop now in its tracks, because it is a dangerous situation, because you as a homeowner have the right to defend your property. Now, we can talk about the lethality and all of that stuff, but I didn't invite you on my why are you here? And in an era, this is 2025 Bahamas, where once again, our assumption is you come to do me harm. Because people that don't come to do you harm approach in a different manner.
Stopping, because people who are not criminals, they don't cry.
That's correct.
When I catch the woman and the man coming out the yard with the two mangoes, yes. Right? And I pull up on the side of them, mm-hmm. quick, right? And then I look at them, I say, hey, how y'all doing? The man goes and I say, she smiles, she say, yeah. I say, I only pull up on you like this because this is my yard. Mm-hmm. She say, oh. She say, I sorry. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the couple mangoes. Mm-hmm. It's, right? Mm-hmm. Because she's not a criminal. Mm-hmm. She knows she's right, but mm-hmm. the woman look at me and mm-hmm. say, so what you could do? Mm-hmm. I wanted to tell her, Miss Isahana Hasty mm-hmm. Times, don't never ask me what I could do. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but you're right, Darvin. We have to move away from those attitudes and we have to show people that, listen, this is not the way to go about
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely not.
And, okay, producer, let's prep the music. We're going to transition and sort of pick it up in the next hour because there's a, I want to talk about that. It's more than just the space of property ownership.
Yes.
We see it on the road where we don't respect the right of way, mm-hmm. right? We see it in interpersonal dynamics where we don't respect bodily autonomy or the rules that provide the boundaries for our intimate and interpersonal
relationships. Yeah. No doubt about it.
So we're going to a break. Joining us today is Mr. Darvin Russell on this Wednesday Man Down Mashup Session, where we combine On the Clock and Guardian Radio AM for a little bit of what's in the news. Mr. Nuri, I haven't decided whether I'm going to be a hoodlum or a gay wench, and as such, I could be both. I'm going to be both. I'm going to try hard. Anyway, you guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.